Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Thing I wanted to emphasize, and I think it was brought up here, Mr. Adams may have said something about it, is the emphasis on depopulating our schools. It appears in our public schools, the emphasis is really to depopulate from the public schools, and that's just a complete 180 from, if many of you know, were around in 2000, class size reduction amendment. Millions statewide were spent on classrooms and classroom additions in various schools to be able to house that overflow of students that were caused by class size reduction amendment. So that created a huge inventory of classrooms that now districts are having to deal with it almost a generation later, and the depopulation of the schools. So and that's what we're having to deal with.
Just want to say a note of congratulations to Terry St. Cyr, who is the Assistant Superintendent for Finance and Business Services for the Escambia County School District, or the Escambia County Public Schools, I guess. I still can't bring myself to update my acronym. In my head, it's the ECSD, not the ECPS. But whatever. Fine. Whatever. I want to congratulate him for outlasting Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, which is... you know, that guy's high T, right? So that's no small feat. But for the budget meeting on Thursday, you had some pretty grim news pretty much across the board from Terry, from Mr. St. Cyr, about the budget and where we got here from. And, you know, it started off a little bit with the blaming the way the state always emphasized, build more schools. We need smaller classes so that we can have better education. And then when, you know, COVID and or the universal voucher program hits, all of a sudden the students are fleeing the classroom and going to private school or homeschool or charter school. And all of a sudden we got too much school, not enough people.
A huge emphasis 25 years ago on increasing classroom and students. 25 years later, the big emphasis is on school choice, which is fine. But it depopulates our schools, and now we're dealing with the facilities that go along with that. So that's where a lot of our budget issues are, and having to deal with that is a major, major problem.
Yeah, so as we've talked about a little bit before, you know, periodically when it comes up, is that the people are leaving the school district. And this is a problem, in part because it means lower revenue for the school district, which you might say, well, they have fewer students, why is lower revenue a problem? Oh, stay with me, people. Yeah, but yeah, you would think they only have to serve so many customers, and that's fewer. Why do they need to have more money to serve fewer customers? Good question. Not a great answer, but there's a good question, right? Because if your customer base goes down, you would think it wouldn't cost as much to serve them. But if you actually look at something like, say, I don't know, the pay that has been expended over the last couple of years, the salary amount, even though we are losing students... And this is across the board in Florida. This is not, like, unique to Escambia County. Same story in Santa Rosa County. It's not a question of if, it's a question of how much. So from 2024-25 annual spending on salaries, you went from $216 million to $215 million, so down $1.2 million, which you'd think, well, that's good. Yeah, but you had a pay raise, and that's only about a half of a percent reduction in pay across the board. Meanwhile, the reduction in students is 1,000 students out of a population of about 34,000, which is a 3% reduction. So I know it's math on the radio, and I know nobody gets excited about that except me. But if you reduce your volume of business by 3%, but you only reduce your pay to your employees by a half of a percent, guess what happens? Budget deficit. That's exactly what happened. They overspent last year and the year before because they're not getting enough money from the state. Interestingly, we're still getting full funding from your property taxes. Remember, property taxes are not affected by the amendment coming up in November. property taxes keep going up and up and up and up. And in spite of a growing population in the area of children, I mean, look around you. There's houses being built every single day. Why? More people. That means more kids. Despite a growing population of children, fewer and fewer of them are actually going to public school. And even though the property taxes keep going up, the per student allocation, the total amount of allocation from the per student, the FTEs, they call them, full-time equivalents, keeps going suffering. And so you have this budget problem.
So over 1,000 students from the prior year declined in 2026.
Down 1,000 over the last year, again, from 33,000 to 32,000.
But 2026 ended the year, like we just said, 1,044 below prior year in traditional schools, which includes DJJ and virtual in this slide. And then for that period from 2020 to ending 2026, 4,657 unweighted FTE, negative.
Okay, so looking over the course of 5 or 6 years, the loss of students starting in 2019 to 2020, okay, right before COVID or right at COVID, 38,000 kids in the Escambia County schools. And again, trust me, these numbers track roughly what's going on in other counties, including Santa Rosa. But for over the next year, they lost 1,600 students, went down to 36,000. The next year, 200. The next year, 150. The next year, 1,200. The next year, 500. The next year, last year, a little over 1,000. Over the course of all of that time, it's a 4,600 student decline. But the total number of students in all of Escambia County, including what they call scholarship, which is voucher kids and charter kids, went from 39 to 38 to 39 to 39 to 39 to 41 to 41 and a little bit, meaning it's gone up just a little bit over time while they've lost 5,000 students and they're projecting it to go to lose even more. We're at 6,300 voucher students right now in Escambia County. That's 20% of the students. And that's going to go up to 7,000 next year. That's a lot of loss for the school district.
Projection-wise, we're talking about roughly 500, thereabouts, give or take. Moving into the new year, projections negative from prior year, from 2026 into 2027.
So another 500 over the next year.
So it's a continuous decline. I agree. We don't know when the floor is going to be there, and we've said that for years. Where is the floor? We've always had a little bit of a decline since, at least since 2010, I know. But then when we hit the 2020 year, it was just exponential.
Yeah, small declines, and then COVID and universal vouchers are killing the school system, not that slowly.
The bottom row of the scholarships from 2020, 791, all the way up to 6305, and then for 2027, there'll be over 7,000 in scholarships.
Okay, now you can take this a couple of different ways, right? The facts are the facts, but the meaning or the significance of the facts depends a little bit on point of view. One way to take this is crisis for the schools. And it is. That's true. But another way you can take it is raging success for the kids and the parents of those kids who are, for the first time in at least my paying attention to these issues, which is, you know, like 30 years worth, this is the first case I can think of where we finally have educational freedom in a state and the parents and the kids are benefiting from it. Listen, the schools are doing better. Escambia County Schools, A grades, right, for the first time ever. But that's only for the ones who remain in public school. The ones who are in private schools, the ones who are doing in homeschooling, you may not have as much data about how well they're doing, but let me give you a hint. They're doing well, too. How do I know? Because their parents are keeping them in those environments. The parents are the best barometer of how well a child is being served. We trust the parents because they are the primary caretakers of those children, the primary responsibility, the fiduciary, if you want to think of it that way, those kids. And if the parents are keeping them, and even more so going to private and home education, the parents are satisfied. So the kids that are in the school system are doing better. The kids that are leaving the school system are doing better. This is, we always, for the longest time, those of us who believed in competition in schools and education choice always said the basic problem with allowing people to leave the school system is that there's nowhere for them to go. There's not enough seats. Well, guess what we're doing? We're creating private schools, and people are taking homeschooling as an option. And that's good. if 20 maybe percent or so of all of your school-age children are in non-public school environments, that's great. It used to be 93%. You know, 7% only were an alternative. That's low. It might at some point be 50%. That's great. What's the one problem with that? I mean, then there is a problem. What's the one problem with that? Who owns the diminishing capacity schools? You do. And you have to keep paying for them. Think about it this way. Is it great when new restaurants come up? Sure, because people are able to go to the places they like to go to. Look at Texas Roadhouse. Every day, I just know Texas Roadhouse because we drive past it all the time on Davis Highway. It's always packed, 100% of the time. It's always amazing to us. I'm like, when is it ever not packed out? I don't get it. I mean, I've eaten there. I think I've eaten at the one here. I don't know. I've eaten them before. My wife likes the rolls, so we go to the rolls. But I'm always amazed, like, oh, my God, it is always jam-packed. Bubba's is always jam-packed. Okay, that's great for the customers who go to Bubba's and Texas Roadhouse. Who is it not great for? Well, the restaurant that lost 50% of its people or 20% of its people. But the problem is not so much that the restaurant over there that's not as competitive is losing people. The problem is who owns that restaurant. In this case, you own the bad restaurant. Not bad, but you own the troubled restaurant, right? The one that's not doing so well. And that restaurant is run by people, and I'm going to say this as nicely as I can, who aren't running it all that well from a financial standpoint.
So we had a $10.2 million overspend, drawdown of fund balance last year, or for 2025. For 2026, that's $13 million. And the resulting fund balance projection now, $22.7 million. $22.8 million.
Now, I know budgets are nobody's favorite thing, including myself, to think about. And part of the problem with penetrating budgets and understanding the significance of them is the terms that get used. Fund balance. What the hell is a fund balance? It's your savings account. I don't know why they don't, you know, the rainy day fund, your fund balance, your surplus, your emergency. Just a term and then keep it the same for all governments. But they don't do that. Okay, so fund balance is your savings account. In 2023, 2024, it was $42 million. It's an annual budget of around $350 million for the school district, okay? Then they overspent by $10 million, and that fund balance went down to 35. It was actually 45, and then went down to 35. Then last year, they overspent by $13 million, which means it's going to go down to 22 or so. That's half in 2 years of the total savings of about $45 million. How long can you keep that up? Not long. Not long, as my very budgetary conscious wife said yesterday. Well, that seems like you got about 2 years of that, son. You know, and then you're out of money. And then what do you do? Well, you're in trouble. Well, that's where we're at.
2026 was a disaster for revenue. Negative 1.6, negative 0.51%, $317 million total.
So we're spending a lot. We're not making more. We're losing students, which, on the one hand, you would think would be good because that means you have less you have to take care of. But on the other hand, it means you're not getting as much money from the state while you're still getting more and more money from property taxes. And it's creating a disaster because nobody's eager to close schools. Nobody's eager to shut down facilities or limit facilities. But that's where we're at. Not because there are fewer kids, but because there are fewer parents who are opting for their kids to stay in public school.
Any questions on FEFP? All right.
I'm actually surprised the numbers were so good. So when I look at the student enrollment drop, you know, you've stayed pretty close to where your budget's been every year, despite us going down in enrollment.
Why would you be happy that the budget has stayed at the same level when your student enrollment has declined? Why would you like the idea of spending the same amount of money when your customer base is going down? That's crazy. But that's what Kevin Adams said. Now, I get the sentiment. He's saying, I thought it was going to be even worse than this. But, you know, if your customer base goes down, your spending should decline. And it's not. Not really. Not enough.
I'm glad you said that.
That's Keith Leonard.
I've said this to y'all before. I was talking to Dean about it before.
Superintendent.
We talked about grades and how excited we were. And then we start talking about this. And sort of feel like my coach, David, will appreciate. Coach Matthews used to tell me that, you know, pat on the back 16 inches from a kick in the rear. So kind of feel like we're getting kicked in the rear. But it really...
School grades came out good. Finances came out really terrible. So that's where we're at. 437-1620. A pat on the back, just 16 inches from the kick in the rear. I like that. Yeah. Also, just FYI, we are keeping an eye on Bertha. It has now strengthened into a tropical storm overnight a little bit. It was weird. It was slow to become a tropical storm. It was supposed to be yesterday afternoon. It wound up becoming a tropical storm late last night. Now it's at 50 miles an hour. Had been at 35 for a long time yesterday. Still moving slowly, 5 miles an hour northwest. Going to bend and go west straight towards the tip of Louisiana. We are expecting to get a little bit of storm surge, a fair amount of rain off and on over the next few days. Nobody thinks it's likely to become a hurricane at 74 miles an hour. But, you know, they closed down like Fort Pickens and stuff like that out of what I would describe as an abundance of caution at this point. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some things can steal your sunshine. Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken. Aww.
Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Pensacola's own On the Rocks takes all your musical favorites, shakes it up, twists it, then adds their own unique and special flavors, serves it to you on the rocks. And don't miss the Gulfside Market, making its return to Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
One of life's greatest mysteries has finally been solved. It's Spruce, the weed and grass killer that's safe for use around people, pets, and bees. When used as directed, spray the leaves for visible results in just 1 hour, and dead weeds in just 1 day. You spray, they play. Spruce, pet friendly, weed deadly. Find wherever weed killers are sold.
Got a question about business, health, or money?
Chances are Meg's already talking to the expert.
Pet Talk, Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Say it again, Candy. Go ahead, say it on the mic.
I said, God, I love Shrek. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, except for the voice and the height and the face and the acting ability, Mike Myers and Clint Eastwood are the same person.
Same guy, yeah, right? Like Margot Robbie. Yeah, right.
Yeah, those are the celebrity doppelgangers we didn't know we were confused by. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, just a... I don't know how important this is to you, but you remember I had told you that there was a... video of the low pass from number 3 over the beach last week for Breakfast with the Blues that somebody had shared with me. I had posted on social media, it shared like 500 times, and then the actual original author of it had gotten a hold of me and said, hey, you know, please take that down. And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, you know, the law was a little bit unclear, but it's fine. You did what was right, or I did what was right, because, you know, that's what I would have wanted done for me and for a friend. Well, she actually got a hold of me yesterday and said it's okay to go ahead and post it. I don't want to go into the reasons. I thought they were actually good and thoughtful, but I just appreciate that she's permitted me to reshare it. It's a very unique shot of the incident because it's not just the flyby, but it's also usually when people are filming a plane, they follow the plane. They right. don't think to keep the camera on the jet wash After Effects, which is what this video does, from right underneath it. It's actually got a really good shot of Brent as well. Is right in the major part of the shot, dancing around and acting like a little girl because he's excited about it all.
Brent Lane.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my gosh, did we get that on camera?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, the one that's, anyway, it's shared on my Facebook page, on our News Radio 92.3 Facebook page. It's right there for you to see.
Nicole Stacy's hair back.
Yeah, so sweet. It's a good one. 437-1620, 437-1620. We had that man. That man has been charged in that crazy chase car theft crash that took place. The guy basically, he drove it like he stole it on Fort Pickens Road. You know, You know how we always we joke around about that, but that's what happened. This was the guy that was driving that gray pickup truck all through Fort Pickens Road when the traffic was all jacked up, and then, you know, driving around in Gulf Breeze and eventually crashing it into a corner like a by the Exxon, you know, gas station. I mean, he crashed it pretty hard. And then he gets out and runs away. And then they're like, well, he didn't test positive for alcohol. Yeah, I looked at him. He doesn't look drunk. He just looks like, you know, I don't know, excited or reckless or dangerous. Anyway, so he's in jail. And you were saying, you were reporting on this morning, and his name is?
It's Joan. It's a guy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a Spanish pronunciation.
Thought it was Juan.
Jean.
But yeah,
that's what I said over on Cap.
I think the way we're going to go with it is we're going to say his name is Woan.
Woan. Well, Woan got tased, bro.
Woan got tased, bro, and he got, you know, put in jail for sure. And then you had burglars who broke into the safe at Crabs. We got them. And stole money out of the safe.
It's like that Woody Allen movie. Like, they drilled into it, turned the electric off, and everything.
I know. What kind of drill did they buy? I mean, I don't think they bought that thing at Harbor Freight. You know, so anyway.
I would have been crab legs in my sweatpants.
We'll find it.
Maybe not.
Way to go, Jalen.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Another night of U.S. military bombardment inside Iran. CENTCOM releasing the sound of missiles on their way toward Iran.
This was the 10th consecutive night of strikes aimed at degrading Iran's ability to threaten vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. Early this morning, Iran attacked another tanker off the coast of Oman, forcing the crew to evacuate the vessel, according to maritime tracking groups.
Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv. The dignified transfer of the U.S. service members killed in Jordan that was supposed to take place today has been rescheduled for a later day. Voters head to the polls later this morning in Arizona, which is the only state in the U.S. holding statewide primary elections in July. Voters will choose candidates to run for governor and two House seats. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 77 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. That's up here in just a few minutes. Well, Tropical Storm Bertha is expected to most likely slide to the south of northwest Florida, but city and county officials preparing for every scenario just in case. Beach flags already up to single red. Double red is expected due to dangerous surf and rip currents. Fort Pickens closed at 3 o'clock yesterday. Campers were told to evacuate. And crews in Pensacola are clearing storm drains and drawing down ponds ahead of expected rain today. Officials say make sure to stay weather aware, although no major flooding is expected, at least right now. Well, a stolen pickup truck led police on a high-speed chase after the air show Saturday in Pensacola Beach. Deputies say 19-year-old Joan Vargas Rosario stole the truck from a friend and then hit several cars and pedestrians while weaving through traffic across the beach into Gulf Breeze. The chase ended when the truck crashed at Gulf Breeze Parkway and Daniel Circle, taking out a fire hydrant and a utility pole. Vargas Rosario faces multiple charges. He is due in court on August 6th. Well, Pensacola is planning to freeze hiring this fall as it braces for the potential for a statewide property tax referendum in November. City CFO Amy Lavoie tells the News Journal that the freeze, along with the cuts to overtime and cost of living raises, will start September 1st. This comes as the city faces lower than expected revenue, even without the tax referendum passing. The city council has also voted to keep the current millage rate for now, although members were divided on whether to lower it before a final budget vote in September. Well, deputies are investigating that burglary at the Crabs restaurant on Pensacola Beach. Investigators say three men broke in. This was early on Monday morning, cutting power and drilling into the safe to steal cash. Officials say the break-in appears to have been well-planned, and they haven't ruled out any possibilities. The restaurant was reopened as of Monday. It's 534 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a high chance of rain today, 80% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, periods of heavy tropical rains, followed by cloudy and breezy conditions as Tropical Storm Bertha moves to our south. We're expecting highs today near 90 degrees, with temperatures overnight dropping near 76. We're also going to be looking at high surf and a high rip current risk throughout the next couple of days. Going into Wednesday, 70% chance of those periods of heavy showers and thunderstorms, then cloudy skies and breezy conditions, high near 90 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 77 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The new powerful Chinese artificial intelligence model, Kimi K3, has suspended new subscriptions after a flood in demand overwhelmed capacity within days of the launch. The development highlights challenges faced by Chinese AI models in serving a growing user base at home and abroad at a time that the U.S.-China tech race is heating up. Samsung Electronics shares rose more than 6% after the company said it is creating a robotics division as the South Korean tech giant seeks new sources of growth. The newly created RX, or Robotics Experience, will consolidate Samsung's robotics capabilities and is intended to drive a mid- to long-term strategy from core tech development to commercialization. A federal judge in San Francisco has signed off on artificial intelligence company Anthropic's landmark $1.5 billion settlement of a class action lawsuit brought by a group of authors who accused it of misusing their books to train its AI chatbot called Cloud. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC, every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
Buggy Works, the largest golf cart dealer on the Gulf Coast, is leveling up. Headquartered in Pensacola, now serving Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, and Lake Barton, and proud to help the entire coast ride in style. All the top brands, all in one place. Whether you want luxury, lifted, street-ready, family-friendly, or a fully customized build, your next ride is waiting. Premium carts, in stock, and ready to deliver. Visit BuggyWorks.com. That's BuggyWorks.com.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Jimmy Patronis. He is our congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good to have you. So let's start with this just because it happened right after, I think, the last time you and I talked. We were talking on Monday, and then you had the vote in the House on the Daylight Saving Time Act, and then we had we talked to Rick Scott on Wednesday, so we've had a lot happen since then. Big bipartisan push for this, like over 300 people voted to approve the ability for a state like Florida to go to permanent daylight time, right?
Yeah, and so states do have the ability to opt out. The fear that I've got, you've got a number of senators, the Tom Cottons of the world, those guys, they're against this. So you've got northern states and western states that have heartburn over making this change. But the beauty of it is they can opt out. So it'll be interesting to see how hard they push back. This isn't the first time we've attempted this, and this was happened evidently decades ago.
Yeah.
And Congress reversed course and changed the law again. So, but the House finally did what we, felt like was impossible to do, and now we are waiting on the Senate to comply.
Yeah, that's basically what Senator Scott had told me last week is, if John Thune takes it up, it'll pass. The only question is whether he'll actually take it up or not, and I do think it could allow for some funny little wrinkles, like if I'm trying to remember which way it works. I guess if Georgia did permanent and Alabama stayed like kind of how they are now, then for half the year you'd have a 2-hour time difference at the Alabama-Georgia border, which would be kind of a funny outcome of this.
That's fine.
It did actually pass, but anyway. And we may, it might be one of those things where sometimes you got to learn the lessons of history by doing it again, and maybe we'll hate it after we have it in place for a while. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, and look, it's one of those things. States do have the ability to opt out, so hopefully it's given a shot, and the president gets to sign the bill.
Yeah, and I like the fact that how right now you can opt out of daylight time, but you can't opt out of standard time. And I think, both ways. It should go both ways. If a state wants to do one or the other, they should be able to do it. But like you said, we'll see.
A couple of states that have already opted out, like Arizona,
right.
I forgot what the other one is.
Right.
And they've been that way forever. So.
And it's weird. But, we live with it. No big deal. Blue Angels this weekend, great show. I know, like a lot of other people, I was sad that we didn't fly 6 jets because the number 3 jet did not fly Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I mean, I understand all the background around that. Obviously, we've been talking about this almost nonstop for a week. But you were here to watch the show?
Yeah, and, I shook hands with 3, talked to them just a little bit, Definitely there was a lot of folks that wanted to get selfies with him. And
yeah.
It was kind of one of those mixed moments where, people were upset that he wasn't flying. I think there was also an understanding that there needed to be kind of a time of reflection.
Yep.
But anyway.
This was that Friday night at the reception at the Hilton? Is that where this was?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, at the reception. But, what a great show. They claim on Saturday there was about 250,000 people on the beach.
I believe it.
Biggest turnout ever.
It was crazy.
There was a different type of enthusiasm that turned out. One, I think the events of earlier in the week kind of stirred up another extra interest. But I did an interview with the television station about it, and they were kind of frustrated. Or at least they wanted to try to trigger frustration with me about the actions that took place with 3. And I, the way I kind of look at it is I look at the role that the Blue Angels serve. They're supposed to be ambassadors of the Navy,
yep.
Supposed to help recruiting, supposed to drive up interest in becoming an aviator. All those things that it does is kind of a marketing arm of the Navy. What they ended up achieving, unfortunately, the silver lining to it was they got hundreds of millions of dollars of global earned media.
Oh yeah.
So, so the exposure through social media, through nonstop coverage over, 48-hour window on national TV. The Blue Angels are going to be in Seattle this week. I'm sure there's going to be markets that there's a family that said, well, those are the same guys that were on TV last week. Why don't we go check them out? There's going to be extra eyeballs glued to the seats in those markets that they're performing in because of the awareness that this brought to light.
My son in South Carolina has seen the video. Somebody in Ohio was watching the interview that I did with Juan on base last week that then, you know, people in Utah got shared to him. I mean, yeah, like if the point of the Blue Angels is to promote the coolness of being in the Navy, which is exactly what it's supposed to do, is to generate, it's a recruiting tool. Okay.
Yeah.
There's in, you know, the last decade, there hasn't been another incident like this to promote recruiting like anything I have ever seen. As you say, it's a, you know, you couldn't buy that kind of advertising for something. People like, oh man, I want to go do that, right? You know, and I saw a headline that I thought captured it so well. It said, the Blue Angels too low beach flyover was dangerous as hell and shouldn't have happened, but the video still kicks ass. And I thought that was like the perfect summary of this entire thing. That's all of it in a nutshell.
Well, and you know, I talked to some former Blue Angels about it, and there was some real kind of cringe moments. But then again, I haven't heard what the full review investigation entailed. Was this on purpose? Was this by accident? Was a degree of both? You know. Anyway, but nor here nor there. Thank goodness, no injuries. It was a fantastic weekend. And there was some notoriety brought to the Blue Angels.
And, you know, I was talking to Greg McWhirter, former boss of the Blues, on Saturday. We do a broadcast every year, and I was talking with him. And, you know, one of the things he said is there's a process, and ultimately you have to defer to the process that they're going to do what needs to be done and come out with the right answer, whatever that answer might be, for everybody involved, from the pilot to the team to the FAA to the folks at the SRIA. And, you know, just because they don't come out and tell us every TikTok moment of every discussion that we'd like to hear about doesn't mean that a good decision isn't going to get made in the end, and that's what I have confidence in. Jimmy, you were the CFO for a while, and now, of course, you're a congressman. I know a part of your heart is always, anytime there's a storm or an emergency or anything like this, you always like to remind people to do a couple of key things. So we have a not that menacing of a storm. I mean, it's not even a tropical storm and not likely to be. It's a tropical depression. I mean, it might get up to tropical storm speeds. It's kind of close to it now, but this thing's going to move along the coast. But what's your advice to people who maybe are new to the area or just haven't gone through this before at all?
Yeah, look, there's going to be new people, and you got to do this anyway. We're in hurricane season still, but take your smartphone. This is really easy. Take your smartphone. Go film the outside of your house. Get a photo evidence that there's no trees or any damage to your house. And then do the same thing inside, but inside's a little bit different. Inside, film your furniture, film your wardrobe, film your TV. Just walk through, do a slow video talking to yourself. I mean, literally, it'll take you a total of 5 minutes tops. Take those videos, email them to yourself so they're in the cloud. Now, here's why I want you to do that. God forbid you have damage. You're going to call your insurance company. Insurance company is sending an adjuster out. And the adjuster is going to want to ascertain, this was our fault, this was not our fault. If you've got video from this week and it's showing on this day, this is what my house looked like, and now you've got damage to it, that's really black and white. It's cut and dry on what the insurance company is going to need to write your claim for. Speeds things up. God forbid you have significant damage. Let's say a tree falls on there and does a lot of damage.
Right.
Now you've got to take an inventory of what you've got in your house that you lost. It's impossible for you to ever remember this, but you'll be able to reflect on this video and go, oh my God, I forgot about my DVD player. but you see what I'm saying? And if you've got that, it's just going to speed up the claims process. And a lot of times the claims process is trying to ascertain what they owe you for, but now you've got some photo evidence.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've got the video, which is useful, but also I know this as a teacher, talking through things means you learn them better. Walking around your house, even if something happened to the video, you're that much more aware of all the things you have in your house, so you're better prepared to file a claim, if you know, whatever. It's just, it's a good thing 100% of the way around.
And if you'll do it, the good thing is you'll have it for the rest of the year, because we're not out of the woods yet.
No, that's absolutely
some reason why Mother Nature loves visiting in October. So,
and though it's not as common, you know, we do have pop-up storms and tornadoes, and you know, you might not have a week to prepare like you typically do for a regular old hurricane or something like that. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. Jimmy, we have locally, I don't know how much you've been tracking this, but locally, one of the biggest topics in the last several weeks, there's a group of people that have really made data centers their big thing. Like, it's kind of a fetish with them that they are against data centers. And they have gone to the Escambia County Commission numerous times. They've gone to the Pensacola City Council many times. Some friends of theirs, so basically, have gone to Santa Rosa County. Santa Rosa has put in a one-year moratorium on hyperscale-level data centers, I think maybe all data centers, even though it was already not allowed in the land development code. Pensacola just put in a one-year moratorium on the 50 megawatt and above, like the state law put in. Escambia is going to take up the same issue. I think it's likely. But my concern, and this is why I wanted to ask you, you see things from sort of the 50,000-foot D.C. view. I'm worried about we're the cyber coast. We have military. We have Softly Field that we're trying to develop. We have, aviation, military-related things here, including, you know, we have GE Vernova. We have a lot of, like, forward-looking industry, and it worries me that this is going to stifle maybe some opportunity that we aren't seeing quite yet, or that, you know, we might need this in the future in a way that is worth doing, and yet we've kind of let these fringe activists really take over the conversation. What's your thought?
Yeah, look, the data center debate right now is white hot. The one thing that I feel like is not being talked about enough is, you know, you've got this race happen with China. You can't tell me, look, TikTok is the single greatest espionage tool that exists, and China uses it. Now, again, you're hearing the disclaimer. If you're using TikTok, understand whatever is on your phone and what your phone is connecting to your household, if China wants to look at it, they can totally do so.
Yeah.
So look, China does not want us leading in this race. So is there influence taking place? I would say there is. At the same time, I'm very personally concerned about data centers because you've got to create a pathway where your utility rates, if they say somebody puts a data center in an approved place in Northwest Florida, again, we're the ideal place that a data center needs to go is somewhere where there's already infrastructure in place, like transmission lines.
Right.
But in saying that, you know, I've always said from day one, and I'll keep on saying it, I can't support data centers if it's going to increase utility rates on the local folk. So, you know, this is where the president's come out and has empowered, you know, those that want to build data centers that they can generate their own electricity. That is something that is usually a very arduous task. That at least the president also sees and is focused on making sure we lead, but at the same time, not at the cost of local citizens. But, you know, I think the data centers are very similar to any other innovation that is being contemplated. There's going to be misunderstandings about it, but at the same time, you know, my concern is I don't want my electricity rates to go up. It's been difficult enough dealing with inflation. And I don't want to see an extra burden. I used to regulate utilities. You know, they are going to have to judge and budget for demand.
Yeah.
The only other upside financially is you put in a data center, you think about the capital expense that's taking place. It's not going to put any kids in our schools. It's not going to put any kids in our people
right.
in our jails.
Right.
So there is a huge boon to the county's revenue. Because the capital investment there that's taking place in that land.
Yeah, and people talk about there not being very many jobs at a data center, and that's true, but there's lots of property tax revenue that'll flow to the county and not any draw on that for roads or, you know, like you say, for schools or any of that kind of stuff. You know, just as an example, we have Softly Field over here that's, you know, the NES Pensacola has actively said they're trying to develop it. Well, Softly has a solar farm, but other places, you know, you could have a solar farm that generates, let's say, 75 megawatts, and then you could put a 50-megawatt data center, I'm not saying at Softly, but anywhere, and then it actually sends power to the grid and produces some of the benefits of what we all like to have with our phones and with our social media and streaming these videos and movies. I mean, just, I don't hear a comprehensive conversation about this, and so I'm glad some of the points you brought up, and particularly about, you know, being forward-oriented towards our competition with China, which is our biggest adversary right now. So,
and then you just look at what dependency the world is going to have moving forward on AI. It is what it is. You're not putting the genie back in the bottle at these data centers to proceed. You know, my fear is them having the upper hand on, you know, our country with this technology.
Yeah, no, it seems clear that if anybody would love us to not pursue this more than the particular people who are out at these meetings, it's the Chinese. I mean, certainly, yeah. Whether they're actively manipulating them or colluding in any kind of way, it's an interesting question. But certainly, the interests of China are much more in terms of getting us to stop growth in this direction. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Stay safe. Take care.
Absolutely. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, and just again, if you're just checking us out now, Bertha has now formed as a tropical storm, 50 miles an hour winds. It's still not expected to become a hurricane. It's all abundance of caution stuff at this moment. Rain and wind we're expecting. Head gone from 35 miles an hour yesterday morning now to 50 miles an hour, but, you know, it's getting sheared off right now, and also it is going to run into the land problem, and so that's going to keep it from becoming a much more intense storm. At least that's what we think. You never do know, and people are saying Sally, but, you know, really that's, you know, kind of what we expect at the moment. Moving over towards Louisiana over the next couple of days, slowly, 5 miles an hour right now.
My husband said it's taking 98.
No, yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's a scenic 98. You know, drive the coast, see your friends. 437-1620, if you're thinking about a residential real estate transaction, selling or buying, or both. You know, you're getting your first home, or you want to downsize because, you're empty nesters, or you want to move to the beach, or you want to move to the country, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty can help you with that. An estate sale, that's not the most pleasant thing to have to deal with, but, you know, it happens. Divorces, or, you know, you don't want to buy a rental property. They sold 206 homes last year. That's 4 a week on average. And in the last, 12 months, the number is actually higher. It's like 266. Which is crazy. They just keep doing more and more and more. And that's in a market that's still challenging. Like there's a lot of people who are not selling homes. In fact, one of the things they do quite a lot is people come to them after their first or second, or I kid you not, fifth realtor could not sell their home. And they come to them, she's like, well, let's make it this price. Let's stage it this way. Let's do an open house. And it sells. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying they're very, very good at this. Find out why. Talk to them. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penn Air Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit PennAir.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers. Guaranteed returns. Over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit FLOFR.gov to learn more.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This makes my beer taste bad.
Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you.
You know, back after Beyonce had come out with Lemonade and then it had become super popular and then she had the Super Bowl, and I'm not much of a Beyonce fan. I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just, you know, it's just not my preference. I went and listened to the whole album, and most of it's not like my favorite, but I did like a couple of the songs. Hold Up is a pretty good song. I like that one. A little different vibe for us. I like to branch out a little bit. Pitch Perfect is what that was from.
Oh, I love Pitch Perfect.
When they're, you know, when he says, this makes my beer taste bad. Because they're so dated. The Bellas are singing the same thing that they've
oh, that's
sung
right.
for like
yeah.
10 years.
Good thing that one girl broke out. All right, Anna Kendrick, saving the show.
Woohoo! 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm reluctant to tell you this story because it does break with a deeply held conviction of mine, which is that not only is polling not news, but polling should probably be illegal because it influences people's behavior, whereas the viewpoints of the people should be what influences people's behavior. But I am going to tell you this story. It's a short one only because it would help you understand what's going on in Florida. Byron Donalds is killing everybody in all the polls. James Fishback has 12%. Jay Collins has 11%. Paul Renner has 2%. And Byron Donalds has 43%. Pretty standardly in the polls. About 30% are undecided. If they all went with one of the opponents, they might have a chance, but that's not going to happen.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.